I love that song, You Are Worthy of It All. You know, we were talking about this morning before worship in prayer, that every time you see people in heaven worshiping, they're talking about how worthy he is. Revelation chapter 5 is the chapter of redemption. It says that they all stood around and fell on their faces and crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and blessing and honor and strength and wisdom. And he washed us in his own blood and made us kings and priests and redeemed us," praise God, "to himself." He bought us. You know, we ought to get up every morning talking about how redeemed we are. Glory to God. He purchased me. He bought me. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Have you ever been into a store where you bought something? There was a sign at the register that said, "All sales final." This sale was final. It was done and it's over with. We belong to him and he's not taking us back. Praise God. Isaiah 55 says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads." Zion is the place of grace. So wherever you've been, return to grace. Come on back home to grace, praise God. No matter what's going on in your life, come back with singing unto grace. Amen. Because he's redeemed us with his own blood. Can you thank him for a moment just how worthy he is? Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to receive this morning, Lord. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory and blessing and majesty, Lord. And today we honor you above all. And we thank you that you redeemed us. We are redeemed. Say, "I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And he's not taking me back." Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Well, that was just a warm up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Mark began talking last week about breaking the spirit of mammon, and he asked me to speak into that today. Like you said, we're going to tag team. I'm going to kind of, I guess, be the warm-up act today. Amen. And he'll take over. And I believe what the Lord had in my heart was to kind of continue along the lines of what I've been teaching for the last several months about acknowledging the Lord, but acknowledging him in our finances. So if you'll turn in your Bibles and if you'll put it on the screen, Proverbs chapter 3. Praise God. Now, as we start talking about money, I want you to know something, okay? My name is Alan, and I'm your friend, okay? I'm your friend, okay? Praise God. Proverbs chapter 3, and Pastor Mark will get into more of this later, but when he started talking about the spirit of mammon, mammon is just where Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, you cannot serve God in mammon. People attribute, it's not the actual money itself, the dollars and cents, it's the spirit behind it that drives people to greed. And to get more at the expense of anything else, and to hold on to it with all they can. Even medieval writers even attribute it to a deity or a demigod. Praise God. And Jesus said you can't serve that because it wants your service. That's what it wants. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, including your money. And he shall direct thy paths concerning money. Be not wise in thine own eyes concerning your money. Fear the Lord and depart from evil concerning your money." Amen. See, this applies to all of our life. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses will burst out with new wine." Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. A lot of people use this at the offering. Honor the Lord with your substance. But notice it doesn't say give something in the offering. It says honor. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your money. And you know, when you honor something, you give it respect. It's utmost in your thinking. It's a priority in your life. You plan your life around things that you honor. Amen. You talk about it, and you talk about it good. Praise God. You know, you hear people a lot of times talk about when it comes to the subject of giving in not such a flattering way, but you know, when you talk about giving to the gospel that way, that's not a position of honor. Now, my name is Alan. I'm your friend, okay? Amen. Amen. You know, I love what Brother Jerome Fernando talked about when he said that Jesus came into his own and they received him not. He said that Greek word is that word paralemblano, which means to come alongside. You know, there's a coming alongside with your money. Praise God. There's a coming alongside the gospel and the ministry with your finances. Amen. Now, we love to acknowledge the Lord to lead us and to the things with our children, our family, our work, our day-to-day lives. But sometimes we kind of tighten up when it comes to money. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just like anybody else. Many times we don't want to ask the Lord about money because we're kind of afraid he's going to tell us to give it all away. But you notice here, he didn't say give something in the offering. He said honor. honor him with it. Praise God. That's kind of what I want to talk into today, is when it comes to breaking that spirit that wants you to hold on to everything, is honor. Honor the Lord with your substance and trust, because what the spirit of mammon is, there's four things mentioned in this passage. Trust him, acknowledge him, fear him, and honor him. See, that's what the spirit of mammon wants. It wants your trust. It wants you to acknowledge it first above anything else. It wants you to fear it and reverence it. Praise God. And it wants you to honor it. That's what the spirit of mammon wants when it comes to money. So, but we want to put the Lord in that position always. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants him to acknowledge us because, you know, he wants to bless us. He even says in verse 9 and 10, the reason I'm doing all this is because I want you plenty, plenteous. You know, he's always thinking plenty for his people. God's a God of plenty. You know, that's why you were created. Everything within you was created for fuller expression and expansion. That's why you're never satisfied to stay where you are. You want to grow and expand because that's where he created us. You know, even when it came to the born-again experience, he raised us up. He wants you up. Amen. He didn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you up. Amen. And we mentioned before in teaching this that the word acknowledge there, the Hebrew word there, it means to know. And it's the same word that's used in Genesis where it says Adam knew his wife and she conceived. It's a term of intimacy. And even Pastor Mark mentioned last week, money is part of your heart. Jesus said where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. So we want to know him. We want him to have an, you know, God wants to have an intimate relationship with you and your money. Praise God. He does. Because it's part of you. It's his heart. Amen. Now, like I said, I'm not here talking to you as someone who's lived a life of privilege, okay? Probably Melissa and I over the last 36 years have been through what you've been through, many things you've been through, and some you haven't, and sometimes much more, okay? We've been through it. We've walked through it. We've lived paycheck to paycheck. You know, I grew up in a home where my parents did their best. We never went without, but, you know, things were tight. And we always knew it was tight. I remember one time in high school, this will kind of date me a little bit, but y'all remember the Chuck Taylor Converse, right? Y'all remember that, right? They were awesome. That was the first basketball shoe, and they came back out. But I remember when I was in high school, they came out with the leather version. I wanted those pair of shoes because I played basketball, and I wanted that leather pair of Converse, and they cost $20. And I thought my mother would have a stroke. $20 for a pair of shoes? Are you kidding me? Now, this was way back in the 70s, okay? So you understand where I'm coming from. But see, that's the way they thought. This will also date you. My first year of college, a full load of tuition was $100. And my dad was like, $100? Boy, I'm not made out of money. You better get a job if you want to go to school. Amen. Amen. But that's the way we grew up, you know? Melissa and I remember when we were first married couple, we would go to the grocery store, and some of you may can relate to this. We'd have a calculator in our hand, and we knew we could spend $25 for our groceries. So we had to decide between the spaghetti noodles and the Little Debbie cakes or a loaf of bread or the ice cream. We had to decide because we knew that's what we could spend, and that's the way we lived. I remember taking the kids. This is hilarious. Y'all remember old Charlie's kids used to eat free? Well, we have two boys, and they love to eat. Even today, they love to eat. They're in their 30s. But back then, we would go into old Charlie's after church and tell them, boys, look and act young because you got to eat free today. You got to eat free today. Praise God. But you know what? And there was a time, Melissa and I, we went through several years ago where we lost everything because of a business venture. But we thought tight. We had the hand of our tongue wrapped around that tight scarcity. And that's the spirit of mammon. It wants you to think scarcity. It wants you to think not enough. You don't have enough. You're not enough. You'll never have enough. And if you let go of anything that's of value, you can't survive without me. Because that's where it all falls down to, is putting bread on the table, right? And it wants you to think, if you let go of anything of value to you, you can't survive. Praise God. And so several years ago, I'll tell you how the Lord began to break this power over me and that scarcity thought. Because even when I got a better job and started to begin to prosper a little bit, I still thought that way. I still thought like the guy who had the calculator in his hand and could only spend $25. Well, the Lord, I had a particularly good year in business a few years back. And the Lord began to deal with Melissa and I, especially me at first, about doing something financially that I had never done before. And it scared me. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to hear it. The spirit of mammon had my trust at that time. The spirit of mammon had me honoring it first. Now, things were good, had money in the bank, bills were paid, but the Lord was wanting to increase us and take us to a new level. And so he began to deal with me about it. And you know, he's so gentle. He's so gentle. He just nudges you. And I didn't want to talk to this one over here about it because I thought she'd freak out. Praise God. So one day, I was just like, all right, Lord, I'm going to talk to Melissa about it. And what I should have realized is she's way more spiritual than I am. Because she said, that's God. That's God. And so what the Lord began to talk to me about was the reason you're afraid of that is because you're still thinking like a poor person who's got a little bit of money. You're thinking poor, but you got a little money in the bank. So I knew that scarcity had a hold of me. And so what the Lord began to, as we prayed about it, the Lord began to show us, if you do this and obey me in this area, it'll open doors for you can't open for yourself. And you know, that's happened over the last several years. Even the very job that I have today, the door was shut for several years. But one day, after we walked in this and began to think abundance instead of scarcity, that door opened. And I walked into a position I really enjoy. Other things happened, connections, even some of the very relationships we have today, we can trace back to that time when we learned to listen to God and think abundance. Praise God. Now, we mentioned this, that wealth, mammon is like wealth personified. It almost has a personality to it, and you can hear it talking to you. You know, it wants your trust. It wants you to acknowledge it, and every time that the Lord puts something in your heart to do or anything that you dream about, it wants you to say, money, may I? Money, may I do that? May I do that? It wants you to think, not enough, scarcity, can't do it because we don't have the money. Money, may I? Praise God. And like I said, it's not just money or the lack thereof. It's that spirit behind it that wants you to hold on and hold tight. And this is truly the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about that chokes the word. It's not how much money you have. You can be a millionaire and have this same spirit about you. You can have absolutely nothing in your pocket and think abundance. Praise God. Amen. The Lord always wants to increase us. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to put John 10, chapter 10, verse 10 up on the screen, please. As I was meditating about this, something just jumped out to me about this. Because, like I said, mammon wants that place of intimacy with you, where it's in your heart and it's driving you to hold on to everything you can hold on to and don't let anybody let go of it. Because if you do, you might not make it. But the Lord took me to this verse here, and I love this. We all know this verse. It's kind of the dividing line of the gospel. We all know devil bad, God good, right? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Say that with me. Jesus came that I might have life and I might have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad? Praise God. I love to just get up in the morning and say that. Jesus came to make my life abundant. Praise God. But what I begin to see about this verse is that we have been taught so much about identifying with Jesus. Who we are in Him. Who He is in us. You know, we loved Acts chapter 17 that says, in Him we live and move and have our being. But do you know that He's in you, and in you He lives and moves and has His being? He lives in you. He moves in you. And He has His being in you. So if we begin to identify with Him, as I read this verse, seven words jumped out. I have come that they may have. I have come that they may have. So if I'm truly going to identify with Jesus, because First John tells us, as He is, so am I in this world. I am come that you may have. Amen. That's the abundance mindset. When we walk in this world, we are here that they may have. Have what? Life and abundance. Now, I know that's backwards to the way the world thinks with a competitive mindset. You know, I'm in a sales position, and everybody in sales is competitive. You got to make that sale and get that commission. But what the Lord began to talk to me about is start having an abundance mindset in my business, that there's plenty for everybody. And not only do I want to have my best year, I want all my counterparts to have their best year. What I want for myself, I want for everyone. That's the spirit Jesus wants us to have with I am come that they may have. Abundance. Life. Because the spirit of mammon will try to get you to think that if I don't get everything I can get, there's not going to be enough. But there's plenty. This is a world of plenty. There's a world of plenty here, praise God. Amen. I am come. He wants us to be a blessing to the world. You know, this is just hilarious that I even thought this, but we all know the most famous verse in the Bible that you see at all the ball games, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I always thought John said that. It's John 3:16. John said that. But no, that's in red letters. Jesus said that of himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you know, he's no longer the only begotten son of God. There's millions of us now here. And he's given us. It's a gift to the world. And we bring salvation through him. Certainly not of ourselves, but we bring salvation through him. And we don't bring condemnation. And see, that's another thing that the spirit of mammon wants to do to you is bring condemnation on you and guilt about what you do or you don't do with your money. Praise God. He wants to bring that guilt and that condemnation. But thank God we've been redeemed. He's redeemed us from that regret. Praise God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. He wants us to be a blessing to the world. And you know, you constantly have to make this adjustment in your heart throughout your day, because what happens is something I like to call the three R's, all right? Something happens that sets you on a negative path. Anything that happens negative, and it creates some resentment. One of my salespeople on my team takes a customer from me, creates resentment. I don't like that. Your flesh wants to rise up. And all of a sudden, you start to withdraw. You start to withdraw. Well, I'm not going to do my best now. If they're going to do that to me, I'm going to do that to them. And then the next thing happens is you want revenge. You want them to feel your pain. Well, see, this program is running in us all the time. It's not that we can stop it. It's to be aware of it. It's to be aware that this is happening. Because the moment that resistance comes up, you got to catch yourself and say, no, praise God, I'm a blessing to the world. I'm a blessing to the world. We've all dealt with it. The most simple thing that can happen is my son was telling us a horror story about being in a restaurant in Gulf Shores last week. They were at the beach of just the worst possible scenario. And, you know, they were like, well, they're not getting a tip from us. Praise God. Well, see, that's that resentment that rises up. And then you want to resist. No, I'm not going to be a blessing here. But no, that's where you have to catch yourself right there and say, no, no matter what, I'm going to be a blessing to you. One time, me and Melissa were in a restaurant, and the lady did not do a good job. And the Lord just prompted me, take a $20 bill out of your wallet and call her over there. And you could tell she didn't have a right attitude. But I took hold of her hand, and I called over there, and I put in her hand and said, the Lord wants you to know you're going to make it, and it's going to be okay. She began to cry. So you don't know what people are going through. She began to cry, and Melissa and I got to minister to her there, and she left there edified. You know, that's where the body of Christ should be, as a place of edification. We come in here to edify ourselves so we may edify others. I am come that they may have. Praise God. That's where we are, and that's who we are. Now, Proverbs 11, verse 24, I love this verse. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, in case you think the Lord always wants you to give, he says there's he that withholdeth more than his meat. He does want you to withhold. There are some things you have to withhold. You know, the Lord's been dealing with Melissa and I about putting back a certain amount of reserves, and we're on our way, saving some money. You know, the Lord doesn't always tell you to give everything. Sometimes he'll tell you to save. Sometimes he'll tell you to quit spending money on this and that and the other. But it says, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there's he that withholdeth more than meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Praise God. Now, I like a couple of other translations here. These just grabbed a hold of me. The Passion Translation says, generosity brings prosperity, and those who live to bless others. See, that's John 10:10. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Praise God. Pour out our life to pour out blessings is the one that will be saturated with favor. And this is my favorite. This is the message. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Now, like I said, you don't have to have thousands of dollars in the bank to be generous. Jesus said, I am come that they may have. And we are come that they may have. You can be a blessing to the world right where you are. And see, this is where the spirit of mammon will break off of you. Because if you begin to think, and I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else I've said today, I want you to get this. That if you begin to think, if I start thinking this way and living this way, I'll go under. It's the same spirit that says if you preach grace to the church, they'll fall into sin. It's the same spirit. Because the way out of sin is to preach grace, and the way out of the spirit of mammon is to have an abundance mindset and know that you are here to be a blessing to the world. Praise God. It's the same spirit. And the LEB translation says, a person of blessing will be enriched. Say, I'm a person of blessing. See, the Lord wants us to be a blessing to the world. How can I give of myself today? You know, many times you get up in the morning and begin to even speak the word over yourself that blessings might come to you. But I began to learn to say, how can I get up this morning and sow of myself? How can I give of myself today and begin to be a blessing to the world? Praise God. So the Lord began to teach Melissa and I to think and talk abundance. That's what delivers people from the spirit of mammon, is thinking with an abundance mindset. Think it and talk it. It'll get on the inside of you. Praise God. And so, you know, instead, then when something good happens, you ought to say, that happens to me all the time. That happens to me all the time. Praise God. You know, the church ought to have reverse paranoia. Everybody's out to bless me. Praise God. Everybody's out to bless me. But you know what? Based on John 10:10, I'm out to bless everybody else.
Praise God. That's awesome, man. I love that. Amen. All right. I have to, first of all, correct something, not that Alan just said. I have to correct something I said last week just to make sure that you get the heart and the spirit behind it. Apparently, because I had a couple of people come to me, I said, a poor person can't be a blessing. And in the context, I was just trying to rush through and talk about how God wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. A poor person can't, if they have a heart to give, can be a blessing. But if they have that heart to be a blessing, they won't be poor very long. Okay, so what happens is, and so even Jesus highlighted the widow woman that gave two mites. But my point is that your effectiveness, if all of your money, of all your finances is to paying bills and all of that, your ability to be a blessing is limited. And this is the reason why God wants you to be blessed. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, man, I feel the Spirit of God on this. Ooh. Are y'all ready? Man, what did you say, Alan? I mean, I'm just all ready. I just stepped into a flow of something that you must have just paved the way for. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and you will be a blessing. Actually, he said this, in you, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And so God was thinking about nations, not about a family. God was thinking about multitudes, not about Abraham's few and no more. And God had this mentality of, I want to get it to you so I can get it through you. Okay? And so Abraham began to think about nations and began to think about multitudes and began to think about generations. Guys, do you think about what impact you're going to have on generations, or are you just still trying to impact your own generation? See, there's a legacy. There's generations that'll come, and so in Proverbs chapter 4. So I'm going to kind of go through this over the next 15 minutes to bring to a close this part. That I believe that if you'll take what I taught last week, and if you'll take what you're hearing today, God is going to break some things off of your life. That this is what has caused people to not experience the joy, experience the peace, experience the life of God. And it's because of the spirit of mammon. Okay? And I'm telling you, God has given me a holy boldness to talk about this, because as I've told you before, the church is doing well financially. We're in the best financial position we've ever been in. And so I can talk about these things from a standpoint of not trying to get you to give to the church, or that you think that that's my motivation or anything like that. I'm telling you, I am tired of seeing people that continue to live paycheck to paycheck, week to week, and are never in a position to do what God has called them to do and gifted them to do. And 5 years down the road, guess what? You're still in the same place. 10 years down the road, you're still in the same place. And you always one day, when God has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so we should actually be stepping into a place of such abundant provision that we can be abundant provision to other people. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, keep them in the midst of your heart. He's talking about the word of God. Keep it in the midst of your heart, for they are life. For they are life to those that find them. And they are health to all their flesh, talking about the word of God. But then it says this. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart flow the issues of life. Whatever's going on in your heart will determine the direction and the course of your life. So this is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, that he said, he goes on. Let's just read it. The scripture very quickly. I want to read a couple of things this morning as we talk about the spirit of mammon. He said in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust break through and steal, or thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is so important. Where your treasure is. What is he talking about? He's talking about money. I've got a $100 bill here. This somebody says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Pastor's here. And so would you like for me to give this to you?
Yeah.
You already got one. Well, then if you got one, did somebody else? Isn't it amazing how we react to just a piece of paper? Isn't it amazing that as soon as...
Don't you tear that up.
Think about this. Do you see what effect in a moment that a $100 bill has on your heart? And also consider this for me. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And isn't it interesting that without getting a show of hands, that the majority of us and the way that we reacted was thinking, I hope he gives that to me. We was about to have a mad rush on the stage if I said first person up here. But we weren't thinking, but we probably weren't thinking in terms of, if that comes to me, who could I give this to? So again, there's that mentality of how can I receive, but not how can I give. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is, listen, if this rubs you sideways, if this makes you mad, the kingdom of God and all the resources of the kingdom of God and the plans of God, listen, the purposes of God, the plans of God for your life, where he wants you to go, what he wants you to experience in terms of peace and joy and the life and the love and helping others, all of that is available to you, that when you become born again, when you're part of the family, you get connected with all the resources of heaven, but it'll stay there disconnected from your actual life until your heart aligns with it, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. And so what Jesus knew is that this has a voice and will talk to you. And as a result, if this becomes more important in your life than the kingdom and all of that, this promises, $100 promises you a better life. It promises you a better meal. It promises you peace. It promises you happiness. It promises you all the things that God himself has said, I provide those things to you. It comes with a promise, but it also comes with strings attached. Because it grabs your heart and it causes you to move away from the things of the kingdom if this is where you're putting your trust. if this is what's more important in your life, if this is what you're seeking after, if this is the reason why you're going to work, if this is the reason, you know, so that you can accumulate things for yourself. And so Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to help you move your heart, so that as you move your heart, you get to experience his life. That's what Jesus came for. He's not asking you to move your heart or to give money or whatever that looks like so that the church can succeed. Can I tell you that God doesn't have an issue with money today? All he has to do is he just has to pick up a brick from, you know, the streets of gold up there in heaven and just drop it somewhere. Okay, God does not have an economic issue. He does not have financial lack. That is not his problem. But here's the thing: when heaven gets involved in your little, then it allows the resources of the kingdom of heaven to begin to multiply in your life. Let me give you an example. That there was a 5,000 or more that came together. They had been with Jesus all day. He had been preaching to them all day. And then he's saying they're hungry. And in John chapter 6, he says to Philip, go. Philip comes to them, send them away. They're hungry and they need to go get food. Send them out to restaurants and stuff like that. And so Philip, Jesus said to Philip, he said, you give them to eat. And he said this to see what Philip would do. And where was Philip's first answer? Well, if we gave them, you know, $20,000 worth of food, that's not enough to feed them all. He immediately went to what was in the treasury. He immediately went to what was in the bank account. He immediately looked at how he could supply out of what was available to them at that given moment. Jesus never looked at that because Philip had a lack mindset. Jesus said, what do you have right now? What do you have in your hands right now? I'm not asking you to go to different villages to buy the food. What do you have right now? Well, you know, here's a little kid that has some fishes and some loaves, but that's not enough. See, they were thinking, not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. And probably, and more than likely, people that are here and watching by live stream, when you look at your bank account and when you look at how much money you have, your first response is, it's not enough. Right. Jesus never said it wasn't enough. Jesus took the fishes and loaves. All he needed to do was have the kingdom of heaven get involved in the little. He lifted it up. First thing that he did is he gave thanks for it. Yes, are you thankful for what God has given you?
Amen.
How do you break the spirit of mammon over your life? Number one, you need to be thankful for what God has given you. You need to remove from your vocabulary and from your heart. This is all, listen, it's all about the heart. Say, it's all about the heart.
It's all about the heart.
You need to learn to be thankful for what you have. I don't care if it doesn't pay the bills or if it does, whatever. But you need to recognize, God, this comes from you. So number one, it's being thankful. Father, thank you. Thank you for what I've gotten paid. Thank you for the increase. Thank you for what you've done. And Father, we bless it. Number two, you need to bless it. That's what Jesus did. Lifted up towards heaven, he blessed it. He blessed it. In other words, Father, I thank you now that I'm thankful. You can get involved. I'm going to bless it. And I thank you. You multiply this. You multiply this. And as a result, so what was the next thing that he did with it? Did Jesus, first of all, did he eat first?
No.
Did he say, let me just make sure that I'm taken care of? Nope. Listen, there's a principle here. Get this, guys. He broke it. But then he gave. His first act after being thankful, after blessing it, was to be generous and to give. Remember, there was a little widow woman that wasn't even part of Israel. There was a famine in the land. God sent a prophet to her because God had told her, I'm going to send a prophet to you. I want you to sustain. I want you to give into his ministry. sustain him during this time. And so when he shows up at this city and he sees her, she's out there gathering some sticks. And he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm gathering some sticks together. We're going to make one final meal. I have just a little bit left, and we're going to make our final, we'll make a biscuit. Me and my son, we're going to eat, and then we're going to die." That was her plan. And so the prophet of God said, "Tell you what, make me something to eat first." Can you imagine the headlines? Preacher robs a widow of her last meal. Wow. Here's the thing. He wasn't just setting a principle into place. What he was trying to do, first of all, God said clearly he had spoken to her. So she knew that this was from God. But he was getting her in a place, instead of thinking about herself, to begin to give. And so what she did is she gave to the man of God. And then as a result of that, it says her and her house, they did. The meal, the flour never ran out. The oil never ran out. And they were to eat. They were able to eat all the way through the famine. It just, the more she poured, the more she gave, the more it was blessed back to her. Be thankful for what you have. Bless what you have. Thank the Lord. Father, I bless this in Jesus' name. And then learn how to be generous. Okay? So let me give you some practical things to help you with that. So he says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And then if you'll look at verse 24 of Matthew 6, it says, no one can serve two masters. And this is the only place that Jesus talks about serving two different gods or serving two masters, and comparing the two. So that's why this is so important. Like, this is not a comfortable subject in churches. Like, when you start talking, dealing with people's money and their pocketbook and what's in it, all of a sudden you feel it like, let's not talk about this. I mean, I got plans for my money. You know, really probably the best thing to do is just to have you, when it's time to take up an offering or whatever, just take your neighbor's checkbook and write how you always wanted to give. You become generous with other people's money. You're just not generous with your own, right? We're dealing with heart issues, guys. I'm just talking about heart issues, okay? That can be expressed in any given way. Some people have difficulty giving $5. Other people have difficulty giving $500, like in their heart. It's just, so it's not about the amount. Get this. It's not about the amount. It's about what money has done to your heart. And its place and the priorities in your life. That's what this is about. Because if $100 is going to keep you from, you know, from giving, or if this is so important to you, then what happens is you just resource. This has become your trust. This is what you trust in. And what you trust in is the only thing you're going to receive from. What you trust, where you place your trust, is now the only way, is the only thing you're going to receive from. You only receive from God in where you, to the degree that you put your trust in Him. The rich young man, I talked about it last week. Jesus was about trying to move his trust and his heart from his wealth over to the kingdom of God so that he could receive out of the kingdom of God. The man went away grieved because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to let go of the possessions so that he could grab the kingdom. Have you ever heard the story of about, you know, like a monkey, if you give him a shiny object or something like that, and he'll hold on to that, but then you give him something else, but he doesn't want to let go of this. And so because he can't let go of this, because this is so important to him, he can't get something that may be more valuable. And this is what actually happens in people's lives with the spirit of mammon, because they are holding on and their trust is here. This is what your heart grabs, okay? That you will not let go of this with your trust so that you can grab on and hold and experience the kingdom. That's why these things are so important. We're talking about experiencing the life of God. Peace comes from Him. Peace doesn't come from the wealth that you have. Joy comes from Him. Joy doesn't come from how much money you have saved in the bank.
Right.
I know, this is not shouting ground, right? But it will be shouting ground. If you think about these things. So no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. There are some people sitting here this morning that are saying, why do we have to talk about this? Why is God asking for this? Why? And so already there is a thought of despising this truth because you don't want that area of your life to be touched by him. Stay real still and we know it won't be, and we won't know it's you. You will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches that come from heaven, the true riches that come from the Spirit, all of that. And that's when he said, no man can serve two masters. Now, so the spirit of mammon is like a boa constrictor. It's like a python. It will, the more that you get involved in it, the more you try to move in it, it will constrict and it will continue to, it will grow tighter and tighter and tighter. So what are ways that you can, and so let me just go through very quickly and I'll ask the kind of the worship team to come on up. What are ways that you can break the spirit of mammon over your life? I'm going to give you some practical things, okay? I talked about you need to be thankful. You need to be blessed. You need to give. But let me talk about this giving part for just a second, because Jesus actually describes how to do it in a way that's going to help you. And again, it's all about your heart. I've had people tell me, you know, I know that if I don't give from my heart, it's not going to help me. I know that because my heart's not right, that giving won't help me. It may not help you, but it will help the person you're given to. You see how already sometimes the thinking can get, it's the spirit of mammon and the way it works. Guess what? You may not get a single thing out of it. You may not see a benefit that comes into your, because you gave it out of the right heart. But guess what? You helped a ministry. You helped a church. You helped souls. You helped. So even if you don't like it when you give it anyway, because you're doing some good. Somehow we've allowed to work into sometimes our culture this, well, if it's not benefiting me, I'm not going to do it. Come on, man. It's about that you've already blessed and now you're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I don't sow seed and I don't give because I'm hoping to get something in return. Jesus actually said, lend to others without hoping and expecting something back from them. Your Father's going to reward you. Your Father's going to repay you. Can I just say, it's like this. It would be just like, and I'm going to use this illustration about some things about stepping into business, stepping into new thoughts, new dreams. God, I know that God is getting ready to position many of you to step into new spaces, new places, new arenas of life, that you're going to rule, that you're going to reign, and that God is going to take you into new territories. Listen to what I'm saying this morning by the Spirit of God. If you can receive the word that's coming, God is ready to take you into new places, new spaces, and new territories with greater influence. That he does not want you to live the status quo and the way you've lived for the rest of your life. And God can change in a moment your influence, change in a moment your position, change in a moment. This is what this is about. God is getting ready to position people whose hearts are open to him and say, yes, God, I'm ready. And I'm not going to allow the spirit of mammon control my life anymore. I'm going to seek first the kingdom, the advancement of the kingdom. And I'm going to talk about these things next week. But you got to deal with this first before you can move into your purpose and your destiny that God has for you. You can't say, God, I want to go this way, while you're continuing to be the monkey holding on to this. So, your heart will follow your treasure. You need to look at where your money is, and what it just shows your priorities and where your heart's at. And if you say, well, you know what, I don't feel like being a giver. I don't feel like to give to people. I don't feel like giving to ministries. You don't give like people like this. You know, I'm going to give as the Spirit leads. That is not a scriptural statement. The Bible says, as every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. You need to stop blaming God for your lack of giving and start taking responsibility for it. Well, the Spirit didn't lead me today. Spirit doesn't have to lead you to do something that he's already told you in his word to do. So what do you need to do? You need to purpose in your heart and just say, I'm going to do it. And what will happen as you start giving, and I'm going to talk about where to give. We're generous here at the church, but I believe God wants to increase your generosity, and you start thinking differently as you give consistently. Yeah. Not just, okay, today's my day to give, and you know, but it becomes now your lifestyle. Yes. Lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Which means every week. As God increases you. Well, I didn't go to church this week, so I don't have to give. So then your worship is only when you show up. Your honor is only when you show up at the building. No. It's not about this. It's not about the church. It's about your heart every week, every day, as God prospers you, as God blesses you. So what do? You have to make a choice. Sometimes say, I'm just going to do it. And guess what? What will happen is your heart will then follow. Don't wait for your heart to get there first and then give. Start giving. Start saying, I'm going to have a lifestyle of giving. And what will happen is your heart will follow. Now, Jesus said something else, and you may have never heard anybody say this, but I'm going to say it because Jesus said it. I'm going to give you an assignment this week just to see if you guys will do it. Or maybe you can't do it this week, but maybe over the next few weeks. Jesus actually said in three different places, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Here's my challenge to you. Find something in your life that you can sell. It's important that you can sell. It doesn't have to be huge. Doesn't have to be a car. Nothing like that. But something that you can sell. It could be a piece of clothing. It could be whatever that you can sell. Because what does that mean? You have to take the time to do it. It's real easy. Listen, our economy makes it easy now for us just to give money. But when you take of your time and you go and sell something, whether it's on eBay or whatever, and you get the money from that, and then you find somebody that you can bless with that. And here's my challenge, whatever that is, don't bring it to the church. That's not what I want you to do with it. I want you to take whatever that is that you're going to sell, and I want you to find somebody that you can take that money that you get from it and be a blessing to in their life. Because Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. So part of the lifestyle of giving is, number one, you are going to give and honor God here. This is a place of worship that you're bringing, and you worship God with your giving every week and say, yeah, I'm seeking first the kingdom. I'm helping the kingdom. We're coming together. Thank you, Father. You've given me resources to help. But that's not, but where a lot of preachers would focus on giving here, Jesus talks about giving to other people. And that needs to be a focus in your life. Who else can I help? Who else can I bless? Every one of us has something that we can sell, that we could do that. So maybe you can't figure out how to do it this week. Maybe this is so new to you, but over the next month you could do that. And then as you do, would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for this. Hallelujah. You know, it's about... it's about seeking first the kingdom. And so you do it, and you do it out of joy, and you start. And what happens is as you start helping people, helping ministries, blessing ministries. Now, if you don't know how to give to the poor, or if you don't know anybody, look, we are a generous church. We give to people, and we help people all the time. We give to missions. We help people all the time. You can give, you know, you can bring some of it here or whatever. But it's about becoming blessing minded to bless others. It's having your hand out to be a blessing to others, not having your hand out to try to get a blessing from others. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. So be thankful. Bless what comes in. Be generous. Right away, you got to break that spirit of mammon. And the only way to do it is to give, is to let it go. You'll never get to the place that you feel like it and then it's broken. You've got to give and you've got to act against that thing. And you got to do that consistently and then just enjoy it. It says God loves a cheerful giver, bountiful. So lift your hands towards heaven right now. I'm telling you, as you purpose in your heart right now, last week the Lord did an amazing work in people's lives as he began to break these things. This has stopped the body of Christ for so long. The spirit of mammon will rob you of your voice. It will rob you of telling others about the kingdom. I'll talk about this next week, but we're seeing now, even with China trying to dictate things like what the NBA can say and can't say, a communist regime, we're having businesses and industries bow to that and not talk about freedom and not talk about these things because of they're more interested in the money that they get from it. And so what they're doing now, that money is silencing the voice. Money has been, and the love of it has been trying to silence the voice of the church today. And I say no more. I say no more. I say no more. I say the church is going to rise up and break free from the spirit of mammon, break free from the love of money, break free from the desires and the deceitfulness of riches, and begin to allow the kingdom to flow in their lives in such a way that the power of God is going to begin to flow in this place and in other places like never before. The miracles of God, the healings of God, that Jesus will be exalted in such a way. Jesus will be exalted in your life. Jesus, you seek first the kingdom of God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, as we stand here before you, yes, Almighty God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Jesus, I thank you that you took the time during your ministry to talk about the spirit of mammon. That this was so important that you would deal with men's hearts. Holy Spirit, minister this word to us in such a way that it produces life and liberty and freedom and joy and peace as we step into this liberality, as we step into the kingdom flow, as we seek first the advancement of the kingdom, seek first the kingdom and your righteousness. You said all these things will be added to us. The Father, we can move to a place that we're not anxious or worried about our finances, anxious or worried about our things, anxious or worried about our lives, but that we so trust fully in the provision that even as we would consider giving this morning, as we purpose in our heart, that Father, in Jesus' name, that we're saying, we trust you. That each gift is an act of obedience, is an act of worship, is an act of trust. And saying, we trust you because you freely have given us all things. Thank you for your provision. Spirit of God told me this morning that as you, for some of you, that as you, thank you, Father. Listen to me for just a second. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! This financial thing has been such a stress that what it's done for some of you is it's affected your bodies. It's affected you mentally, it's affected your emotions, but it's affected your bodies as well. Some of your sickness and some of your pain and some of those things have come as a result. The spirit of mammon has so grabbed a hold of you, and your concern about your finances has so wrapped its arms around you that what it's done is it's literally begun to squeeze the life out of you, and it's manifesting itself in pain and in sickness. And so as you are changing your heart right now, where you stand, God is healing bodies right now.